1 o'clock Sunday afternoon on KPR2.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, K210 CR in Atchison, and K258BT in Manhattan, online at kansaspublicradio.org.
1.5%. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Bayer. Bayer is dedicated to delivering breakthroughs that save lives and feed the world using the scientific process. Learn more at sciencedelivers.com. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. Introduction and melancholic waltz from Jacques Offenbach for cello and orchestra. We heard there the WDR Cologne Symphony Orchestra, and the cello was played by Renee Schiffer on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Jeff Watson. Good to be with you for more music on a Friday afternoon. We've got the English Chamber Orchestra and the great recorder virtuoso, Makala Petri, paying us a visit later. Wasn't too long ago on this program that we heard her play a great Danish concerto called Moonchild's Dream. We have another piece from another Danish composer that she'll be here to play, a dance suite from composer Asger Lund Christiansen. That's all just ahead on KPR. Support for classical music comes from Working with Dreams, Andrew Sherwood, Ph.D., Jungian analyst, assisting those undertaking the path of individuation through dream interpretation and the analytical psychology of Carl Jung. More at workingwithdreams.com. Kansas Public Radio would like to thank Wheatfields Bakery and Cafe for providing breakfast during our membership drive, serving homemade bread, pastries, and sandwiches at 9th and Vermont in downtown Lawrence. A big thanks to all of you who pledged your support during the Power Breakfast. Next on KPR is some wonderful French chamber music from composer Ernest Chausson, a 19th-century French composer who, in the late 19th century, studied at the Paris Conservatory under the greats Jules Massenet and César Franck. And their influence is very evident in an early piece by Chausson, Opus 3, his piano trio in G minor, played for us now by the members of Trio Solisti on Kansas Public Radio. Members of Trio Solisti, with a piano trio, an early piece by French composer Ernest Chausson, Opus 3, piano trio in G minor, on Kansas Public Radio. It's 1:42 now in NPR News, coming up at the top of the hour. Later on tonight, from 7 to 9 p.m., I'll be with you again for Film Music Friday. On his way out the door, Daryl Brogdon gave me a pretty extensive collection of film pieces, and on tonight's show, we'll see what's inside of it and enjoy music from Dr. Zhivago, Cleopatra, Ed Wood, and quite a bit more. Music from the Brogdon Collection. That'll be on tonight's Film Music Friday. I'll be with you this evening from 7 to 9. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the First Judicial District CASA Association in Leavenworth, serving children and families through the CASA program, where trained volunteers advocate for abused and neglected children in court. Details at casalvks.org. And support for classical music on KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore, located at 809 Massachusetts Street, Lawrence, Kansas, offering books, events, store cats, and more since 1987. Information and shopping at ravenbookstore.com. And Delicious Del Sur, now hosting private events and offering catering for any occasion, featuring a variety of South American flavors, located at 724 Massachusetts Street. More at Delicious Del Sur's Facebook page. We're ready to bring you now recorder virtuoso Makala Petri and the English Chamber Orchestra with a piece of music, a dance suite, composed in 1992 by Danish composer Asger Lund Christiansen, written in 1992, but ever so subtly tries to sound like an 18th century piece. Christiansen's dance suite for recorder, next on KPR. a dance suite for recorder and string orchestra. Music written in 1992 by Danish composer Asger Lund Christensen, written specifically for recorder virtuoso Makala Petri, who we listened to there alongside the English Chamber Orchestra here on KPR. Coming up now on 2 p.m. in just about time for NPR News. Another wonderful hour of classical music awaits us, an hour which we'll hear music by Dvorak, Carl Maria von Weber, and a wonderful Spanish cello concerto. That's all ahead on Kansas Public Radio.
At Morning Edition.
Here, Morning Edition, weekdays from 5 to 9 a.m., and your place to find NPR News. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio, from the University of Kansas. We are KANU in KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV in KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Up to $10 million for information leading to the identification of the group. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from United States Postal Service, dedicated to putting reliability at the core of USPS Ground Advantage to help businesses operate smoothly. More at usps.com/groundadvantage. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. A tiny bit there to start with from Antonín Dvořák, and a short polka in B-flat major, a short piece, the kind of which Dvořák used and found suitable for the instruction of his students at Prague University, at Prague, the Prague Conservatory. We heard the Russian Philharmonic there, led by Dmitry Oblonsky on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Jeff Watson, glad to be back with you. More classical music before All Things Considered at 3 p.m. In this hour, we'll hear a little chamber music for two violins and piano from someone who was considered one of history's finest violinists, the Belgian virtuoso Eugène Ige. And then it'll be followed by a Spanish cello concerto, music by Joaquin Rodrigo, still to come. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Information about KU's research is at ku.edu. Conductor Walter Suskin and the Bournemouth Sinfonietta bring us our next piece from composer Carl Maria von Weber, and one of the most famous waltz-style pieces he ever wrote. This is The Invitation to the Dance on Kansas Public Radio. Carl Maria von Weber's Invitation to the Dance, played by the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, led by Walter Suskin, here on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. 2:17 now. Thanks for being with us on a Friday afternoon. We await the Orchestra of Castile and León in a few minutes with Concierto como uno divertimento, a Spanish cello concerto, a very colorful piece by composer Joaquin Rodrigo, still to come. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Commons at KU, presenting the Kenneth Spencer Lecture with Patricia Ononiwu Kaishin, author of Forest Euphoria, The Abounding Queerness of Nature, 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 7th at Liberty Hall. Tickets at thecommons.ku.edu. And Eagles Rest Natural Home, located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in toxin-free, customizable natural mattresses, bedding, and sustainably made furniture. Online at eaglesrestnaturalhome.com. Here on the KU campus, 53 degrees right now. KPR listening area is under a red flag warning in effect until 9 p.m. this evening. Just like it's been for the past couple of days, it's very dry and very windy out there. The perfect storm for outdoor burning to get out of control, so you want to take very extreme precautions with doing that or avoid it altogether. Tonight we'll have clear skies, a low of 30, and tomorrow should be sunny, a high of 59. We have some chamber music for you next. The 19th century is replete with examples of great violin virtuosos. You have Pablo de Sarasate, Heinrich Wieniawski, and, of course, the great Paganini. There is one violin virtuoso, who, in the opinion of many, stands out, towers over them all, and that was the Belgian virtuoso Eugène Higuet, called by some the King of the Violin. We'll listen to a little bit of his chamber music, a short tone poem he composed called Amity, or Friendship, for two violins and piano, played here by the Igor Ostrak Trio on Kansas Public Radio. Chamber music for two violins and piano. Music from one of the great 19th century violinists, the Belgian virtuoso Eugène Higuet, and that piece was called Amity, a little tone poem, played by the Igor Ostrak Trio, here on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. The time is 2:32. At 3 o'clock, it'll be time for All Things Considered from NPR News. Tonight, between 7 and 9 p.m., I'll be back with you for Film Music Friday, and I'm looking forward to that, with music tonight from the films Dr. Zhivago, Cleopatra, Ed Wood, quite a bit more. Really looking forward to joining you once again this evening. Hope you can be with us then. Tomorrow afternoon, join Destiny from 1 to 4 p.m. for Classics by Request, with Beethoven's most famous symphony, yes, it's number 5, which apparently is also called Destiny. Classics by Request is tomorrow from 1 to 4 p.m. You must be in a fun mood because the requests were epic. A harmonica concerto, you've got it. Classics by Request, tomorrow from 1 to 4 p.m., and I'll be with you then as well, asking for your pledge of support. We're with next the Orchestra of Castile and Leon, conductor Max Bogardo Dorman and cellist Azir Polo, with a concerto, Spanish concerto, written in 1982 by Joaquin Rodrigo, at the request of cellist Julian Lloyd Webber. This is Concierto como uno divertimento for cello and orchestra on KPR. A Spanish cello concerto composed in 1982 by Joaquin Rodrigo called Concierto como un divertimento, played there by the Orchestra of Castile and Leon, led by Max Bogardo Dorman with cellist Azir Polo here on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute. Just about 3 o'clock and All Things Considered is next. I'm Jeff Watson. Thanks for joining me this afternoon, and don't forget, I'll be with you tonight for Film Music Friday. Support for All Things Considered on KPR comes from Emporia State University Choirs, presenting She Sings, a Women in Music Festival, Saturday, May 2nd at Beach Music Hall in Emporia. Details at emporia.link/she-sings.
Is at macfound.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We have a lot of people we want to thank from this morning as part of our KPR Bees Knees Pledge Drive, the Hive Drive. Many thanks to an anonymous listener in Lawrence, Melissa Ness of Topeka, David Darwin of Lawrence, another anonymous donor from Lawrence, and another anonymous donor from Topeka. It's 3:06.
From NPR News, this is...
I'm not sure when they'll be able to go home. Lauren Freyer, NPR News in the Sports City Stadium in southern Beirut.
You are listening to All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, a service of the University of Kansas. We're also broadcasting at 91.3 FM in Junction City and 90.3 FM in Chanute. We're always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Trinity Lutheran Church, presenting a Good Friday Tenebrae service of darkness before the dawn of Easter. All are welcome April 3rd at 7 p.m., 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence. More at tlclawrence.org.
Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines. Then... the war in Iran has the oil market teetering on the edge. What the president does next could sway the outcome. If the war goes on, prices could shoot sky high. If the president were to pull back right now, The oil market would begin to heal itself almost immediately, according to experts. We'll get that whole story. And have you ever wondered about the world from the point of view of a cow? Keeping cattle stress levels down is good for the animal and the people who work with them. It's new technology that allows people to see through a cow's eyes could help relate.
There's a lot of, like, oh, I've been doing this for a long time, but I never realized why it was like this. Like, why cattle stop at a certain part.
How the new tool could help farmers and food companies improve animal welfare, coming up in just about 25 minutes here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the historic Eldridge Hotel in downtown Lawrence, hosting a three-course Easter dinner Sunday, April 5th, 11 a.m. to 5. Reservations can be made by calling 785-838-5503.
Some more thank yous for members of KPR. Many thanks to Lois Hanslick of Lawrence, Kim Grunewald of Shawnee, an anonymous donor from Bucyrus, Rebecca Floyd of Shawnee, Larry Ruggeri of St. Joseph, and Raymond Finch of Lawrence. Thanks so much for being part of the KPR family. It's 3:20.
Say a brief duet with you. Yeah, but you made the musical instrument.
Yeah, but it's beautiful cool. Range of expression.
Some strange sounding instruments and all the latest news, Saturday and Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend Edition Saturday. Kay McIntyre, your local host, Scott Simon, holding down the national feed. Join us again at 7 to 10 a.m. on your KPR stations tomorrow.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu.
It's 3:30. News is next.
That's a loss of 2.1%. The S&P 500 down 108 points. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The Kansas Supreme Court dismissed Kansas Governor Laura Kelly's lawsuit against Attorney General Kris Kobach over legal power. State House reporter Zach Boblett reports on the fight over who can represent the state in court.
The court dismissed the governor's case against the attorney general and kept in place the status quo. The attorney general represents Kansas as a whole in court, while the governor can represent her office and state agencies she oversees. Kelly sued Kobach after he refused to join federal lawsuits she supported. Kelly argued the Kansas Constitution gives her office supreme executive power to execute laws. Kobach argued Kansas law gives his office control over the state's legal cases. Justice Melissa Standridge dissented, warning the decision leaves the power struggle between the offices unresolved. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Kansas lawmakers have passed a state budget and sent it to the governor. KSNT reports the Republican-controlled House passed the budget last night on a vote of 67 to 53. The Republican-controlled Senate passed it earlier yesterday on a vote of 23 to 16. Neither of those majorities is veto-proof. The budget includes more than $50 million for Medicaid providers. Lawmakers say that will help keep rural hospitals open and staffed, but critics say the budget falls short when it comes to funding education. Wildfires that broke out yesterday afternoon north of Winfield in south-central Kansas are now contained. Emergency management officials in Cowley County say fires burning along U.S. Highway 77 consumed trees and vegetation across a path 4 miles long and 1 mile wide. KWCH-TV reports that one firefighter was treated for heat exhaustion as temperatures were topping 90 degrees. The fire danger across Kansas is expected to be exceptionally high tomorrow, and a number of fire watches and red flag warnings will be in place. All of that comes on top of the latest curveball from Kansas weather. We have a hard freeze warning tonight from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. tomorrow for Atchison, Donovan, Johnson, Leavenworth, Lynn, Miami, and Wyandotte counties in Kansas, most of the border counties in Missouri as well, including the greater Kansas City metro area. This is KPR and it's 3:35.
Support for NPR comes from this
and which could either create an end to the conflict or an increase in intensity.
If oil were $200 right now instead of $100, would Trump feel more pressure to change course? It's a hypothetical question for now, until markets find out what's in the box. A short war or a long one. Camila Domonoske, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Laura Lorson. Animal agriculture is under scrutiny by consumers. People who eat meat are thinking more about the environmental impact and the welfare of cattle and other livestock, from farm to processing plant. As Harvest Public Media's Hope Kerwin reports, a university in Wisconsin is hoping a new augmented reality tool will give people working with livestock a better understanding of a cow's perspective.
Keeping a cow's stress levels low leads to better meat quality and milk production. There are fewer injuries on a farm when cattle are calm, and it's viewed as part of the ethical way to care for livestock. But identifying potential sources of stress requires an understanding of how cows see the world. That's according to Ashlyn Kirk from the Humane Handling Institute at the University of Wisconsin River Falls.
When you are designing facilities for animals, you're trying to imagine how they would experience it, but it really, you don't know unless you see it like they would.
It's why the Institute is now using augmented reality to let farmers and meat processing staff see their facilities through a cow's eyes. Kirk let me try out the new tool at UW River Falls Meat Plant. It starts with a black safety helmet that has a double-sided camera mounted to the front.
So this camera allows you to see essentially 360 degrees around you, except there will be a blind spot directly behind you, much like cattle have.
I tighten the helmet on my head and pull on the virtual reality goggles. The screen comes to life, and all of a sudden, I've got cattle vision.
Wow, it's like seeing through a tube, like only what's right in front of me is what's in focus versus everything on the side is very blurry.
That's because a cow's eyes are on the sides of their head, so much of what they see is only through one eye. He says it's easy to miscommunicate with cattle.
Often we make mistakes, and we don't understand why does he stop here? Why does he go? Doesn't he go on? And maybe he's getting aggressive.
In addition to cows, the German company has created pig vision and horse vision, and they're working on sheep next. They've sold or rented the system to customers across Europe and the company in charge of meat production for McDonald's. The tool could help major restaurant and food companies respond to growing attention placed on animal welfare. Ron Gill, livestock extension specialist at Texas A&M University, says consumers are thinking more about the treatment of the animals they're eating.
So if we can manage the welfare of the cattle better through using these kind of technologies, I think it's a win for everybody.
He says it requires building empathy for livestock and creating systems that make sense for their natural instincts. In Wisconsin, Kirk says the processing plant staff and farmers who have tried out the technology leave with new ideas about how to make their facilities better suited for cows.
There's a lot of, I've been doing this for a long time, but I never realized why it was like this. Like, why cattle stop at a certain part.
That might mean installing different lights to ease their transition from trailer to barn, or simply changing the color of safety vests to make cattle feel more comfortable around the people handling them. I'm Hope Kerwin, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the historic Eldridge Hotel in downtown Lawrence, hosting a three-course Easter dinner Sunday, April 5th, 11 a.m. to 5. Reservations can be made by calling 785-838-5503.
This is your place for NPR News from the University of Kansas, Kansas Public Radio at 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Stay tuned. We'll have a fresh update of news headlines for you at 4:01.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Some more thank yous going out to donors to KPR. We are in the midst of our Hive Drive, formerly known as the Campaign for Excellence. Many thanks to Kristen Nyberg of Shawnee Mission. Also thanks to Marshall and Sarah Sundberg of Lawrence, Tom Lumen of Kalamazoo, Michigan, Kay Wildman of Topeka, an anonymous donor from Olathe, and an anonymous donor from Topeka. You can join these folks by pledging right now online at kansaspublicradio.org. Lows around 30 degrees tonight, highs in the upper 50s tomorrow. It is 56 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 4.
From NPR News, this is...
I'm Peter Sagal. If your March Madness bracket got busted, you have a second chance with this week's News Quiz. There are only three competitors. You have a 1 in 3 chance of winning the office pool. Join us for the News Quiz from NPR.
Join us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on your KPR stations for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KAND and KAND HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. It's 56 degrees in Lawrence, 57 in Abilene. It is 4 o'clock.